For April 19th, 2013, we talk about the Castle of Illusion remake, Improbable Island, and your favorite mods. Welcome to the 19th level. My name's Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And welcome to The Level, a podcast for people who love video games, and also where I introduce myself as if I don't know what my name is.
I'm Cole Ross.
Yeah. I really just kind of, I have difficulty with intoning questions sometimes. Like, I don't know. I think I speak in rhetorical questions, and unless I'm asking, you okay? Like, for... or is it? Like, unless it's sarcastic, it doesn't come across as an interrogative.
Cole, are you just picking things in the room and using them as your name?
No, I'm not making a reference to the movie. No, it's it's a thing. You would think that I didn't talk that much. it's shocking. I will go a whole weekend staying, like, you know, just like being at home or even going out to the grocery store. It is shocking how little I find the opportunity to speak, unless that's into a microphone. It's like, yeah, I don't need to talk when I'm out in the world.
See, I found that by living alone, I just start talking to myself more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just to, you know, have words be spoken, you know?
Yeah.
But that's probably not a good thing, because then that carries over to when you're around people. It's like, oh, shouldn't do that.
as long as I'm saying, what do you think, Phil? Who's Phil? Unless the person that you're around is named Phil, in which case, cool. Oh, man. So I can't think of any, like, new or old business. Do we just want to do this?
Yeah,
let's do it.
All right. It's time for The Brief, where we talk about games and game news. Won't you join us to talk about games and game news? My name's Cole Ross. Oh, God. The rails are way back in the mist. Do you guys mind if I go first so I can just sit quietly for the remainder of the episode?
Go for it.
Okay. Sit there and then gather yourself.
Okay. Do you guys ever play the Sega Genesis game, Mickey Mouse and the Castle of Illusion?
Maybe.
I never even heard of it.
Go ahead.
I played a Mickey Mouse game when I was a kid, but I don't remember which one.
It is a really, really good game. You know, it was shortly after the DuckTales era, like when they were making good, you know, platforming games based on licensed properties. Most of them were bad of the licensed properties, but this one was pretty good. But yeah, it was like a really, really hard, a really, really hard platformer. You could like swing on vines and stuff. Yeah, it's fantastic. Actually, it was developed by Sega. There was somebody real famous who worked on it, but
Mickey Mouse.
Yes, Mickey Mouse himself.
Oh, slaved over it.
Typed up the graphics in level 3. Oh man, it was originally being designed by Donald Duck, but he quit because of his rage problems. Did anybody ever else? Okay, so everybody talks about, like, why didn't Donald Duck wear pants? Like, Donald Duck had rage problems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was too encumbered when he tried to put on his pants and would just get angry.
Yeah, yeah. It was the worst way to start his day. I failed at putting my pants on today, so therefore I'm going to scream incomprehensibly.
You'd be mad, too, if you forgot your pants.
Yeah.
It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah, but it's a really good game. And it's funny that I mentioned DuckTales in that previous sentence, because this is actually being re-released as well. Yeah, for PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, and Steam this summer. Sega is just kind of like, yeah, we're doing this thing again. So Capcom and now Sega just coming and doing it, you know?
Is there any indication the
Mickey Mouse one is coming back?
Yeah, yeah, the Mickey Mouse one.
We talked about the DuckTales one a couple weeks ago, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. No, it kind of sounded like I was doing two stories in one. Disney is making a comeback in a big, big way that doesn't involve Zack and Cody. Is that that's a kid's thing, right?
They were never real to begin with anyway. No. So.
Okay. Yeah.
But has there been any indication of if this one, the Castle of Illusion, is a straight up kind of just redo or update, or is it like an entirely new game?
they're being real cagey about it, because I'm not quite sure why. They're calling it a 2D/3D game that is a reimagining and an entirely new experience. Says Kawaguchi, one of the lead designers, "We are having a blast working with her." I'm not sure who her is, to realize many of the elements that were intended for the original game but couldn't be achieved until now due to the technical limitations of previous generation consoles. So I guess this is cut content we're going to be seeing? I don't know.
Mickey, as you've never seen him before. Yeah.
Like a 2D, 3D thing, I could see that being like a 2.5D kind of game. So not like, not Rayman Origins flat, but think, blah. The Cave?
Little Big Planet?
Think about The Cave. Yeah. Little Big Planet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, The Cave was 2.5D as well.
I'm just stuck on this advances in graphical technology. Does that mean we will see Donald Duck's lack of pants like we've never seen before?
No, his genitals just flopping in the wind. His really, really weird-shaped dick. A-O. It'll be like Fritz the Cat the game. Yeah, I'm looking at this. The trailer's real neat. Has Mickey walking around.
There's an actual trailer now. I just saw like the super teaser and like had no idea what it was, and just gathered from the comments that there was something called Castle of Illusion and people were really, really excited for it.
Yeah, it's not gameplay, it's like cinematic footage. And it's hyper let's say dark and edgy. Like, you know, it's like it's Mickey walking through a dark forest with a lantern. But that's kind of what the game was like. It was kind of spooky. Yeah. I don't know. So that's a thing. It's funny because these things kind of come in waves. Like the Bionic Commando Rearmed, that came out at a time with other games that weren't as good that were also reimaginings.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, it's kind of. I think developers are starting to realize that there is a Disney at least is starting to realize there's a treasure trove of nostalgia. Yeah. In the game world that they can tap into.
And I'm fine with that. I'm not going to be like, oh, why aren't they making new things?
Why aren't they making Zack and Cody the game?
They have.
Oy.
Yeah, for DS. I assure you, I sold many copies of it when I was at my old job.
Good. And I just got a little more depressed about humanity.
You know. Perspective. So,
well, I've got one that's interesting.
Do it.
Oh, not to cut you off. It sounded like you were wrapping up.
That was me wrapping up.
So they're doing a contest for The Last of Us. They're actually doing three contests, an art contest, cosplay contest, and video contest. And the top eight winners from each contest will have their names incorporated into The Last of Us. It sounds like there might be some sort of dog tag collectible system in the game, and that their names will be used instead of just, you know, random made up names. And I was just going to kind of throw the question out there, you know, with games trying to be more art, I guess, I don't know if that sounds pretentious, but like, you know, trying to get more serious as a medium, would you flinch if you saw a film trying to do something like this? And, you know, is this just a fun thing, or do you think this has any bearing on the, you know, the game trying to make a statement?
I kind of think they do it all the time. I mean, I don't think you're going to see any of them at cons, you know, you'll occasionally hear like a summer blockbuster where, you know, it's kind of like if you enter the code on the bottom of this Dr. Pepper cap, you're going to get to be a extra in Iron Man. This is kind of like being an extra in a game, right?
As close as you can get.
Yeah. But just kind of like think about something like Bioshock or anything else, or Fallout, where you're reading a bunch of like apocalyptic logs. You know, like one of those characters is named Cole. That'd be pretty sweet, right? I don't know. It doesn't take it out of the world, you know, unless they submit their name as Boner Farts McGee. then that would take me out of it.
Something tells me the censors would get that. Yeah, it kind of got me thinking, like, all the way back, like, Michelangelo used to paint his friends into his works and stuff like that, just random fun stuff, so.
Yeah. I was going to make some kind of joke about Dante's and most of the people in Dante's Inferno being Dante's. That was his name, right? Dante Alighieri. Yeah, Dante's Inferno. Yeah. Is his political rivals, but I couldn't pick. I don't know. I'm not clever enough, you guys. This is my admission.
Totally a thing.
I have the components of cleverness, but so
it's like a baby with a model creation set here.
Yeah. It's the pieces are on the floor, but I don't know how do you feel, Ben?
About
a contest to get your name and shit.
Really care. I don't know if I'd ever submit one or not.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. This made me think of something kind of related to it, but it's a little bit more, creative. I mean, you're doing Last of Us cosplay. Just that's like you could just go to a zombie walk and say massive Last of Us cosplay session.
Yeah, I win.
But let me think here. No,
well, have we seen the zombies in Last of Us yet? Do they really look like your standard zombies?
I think they're just people.
Just like Soylent Green.
But Dark Souls, the original Dark Souls, they held a contest to design a shield. Like, you know, people could submit shield designs and they would be voted upon. They're doing something similar for Dark Souls 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting contest stuff.
Yeah. So things happen, you know. So if you've... If you've used the marijuana 420 shield, I don't even know.
Is that high poison resistance?
It's dope.
Oh no! It makes you die in one hit because winners don't do drugs. Is it, people use it for challenge runs? Yeah,
that was good. See,
there we
it
go.
It only takes one hit.
It only takes one. Where's it at?
Where's that bell?
Wait a second. It was across the room.
So, thank you.
So, no, I was about to say, because winners don't do drugs. That's what arcade games in the 90s told me.
Oh, I played, I can't remember if I talked about it, but I played that NARC video game, propaganda, you know, FBI drug law enforcer game. Mm-hmm. When I was at the retro arcade in Chicago, it was pretty awesome.
Oh, nice. Which retro arcade was that actually? Question.
Oh, I can't remember. It had some, it's like something like the Chicago's gaming arcade or something. It's not incredibly memorable. But it's over on Milwaukee Street, which second to the Magnificent Mile is kind of like the main, drag or not main drag of Chicago, but like the main place to go out in Chicago. So,
right. Yeah, no, I was referring specifically like there would be games whose splash screens that were just like, you know, winners don't do drugs or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. And those.
No, there's a whole game around that principle.
I've played it. It's a beat 'em up. However, there was I believe a 2004 like remake or reimagining of it. That was like a Grand Theft Auto style beat 'em up, but it completely missed the message because the drugs were your power ups.
Oh no. Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Grand Theft Auto.
Whoa. People don't like it when we call off the segues. Go ahead.
I just have a small story this week, but it was just that two screenshots were released for the upcoming Grand Theft Auto game. But apparently a lot of screenshots have been released in addition to the two that were released recently. So I was just kind of looking through those. But so that's the thing.
It's all the screenshots I've seen have been pretty much
dogfighting. Bank robbers.
Dogfighting literally or dogfighting with planes? Because I haven't seen that one yet.
Not the dogfighting with planes, but that sounds cooler.
No, I think you're thinking of Snoopy Flying Ace.
Yeah. Double dog fighting. But yeah, no, the game's coming out in September. That's kind of cool.
Huh.
It's been a while. Yeah, nice. Since Grand Theft Auto game came out.
It's the game.
They've been releasing a steady drip of screenshots.
Mm.
Huh. All I see are some desktop backgrounds.
Those are two. If you Google, Grand Theft Auto artwork, you can find more.
Okay,
those are just the two recent ones.
Yeah, I am as excited as I could be about that game.
Which means not very much.
No. I've bought and played every Grand Theft Auto, like aside from the portable ones, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like,
Did you play both Lost in the Damned and Ballad of Gay Tony?
I played a little bit of Ballad of Gay Tony.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where like I really get into it and I dig on it for a while, but then I don't take anything away from it. Mm-hmm. So I have no doubt that I'm going to buy Grand Theft Auto 5, mm-hmm. but I don't even know. I've seen literally nothing of it, so I can't shit on it. All mm-hmm. I can say is I kind of wish Grand Theft Auto 4 lived up to its promise
more. Yeah, well, you know, they went for realism and seriousness instead of fun.
I didn't even mind that. That's just one of those things where I don't particularly. I really like Vice City.
Yeah, Vice City's good.
Yeah, that is a really good game.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they made up for it with Ballad of Gay Tony because that's where the game was literally just trying to make you have fun. And the storyline was over the top like it typically is to the point where you don't take it seriously.
Right. So. Huh. Huh.
It's on them. I don't begrudge them for trying to make a serious game.
No. They can do whatever they want. It's their. It's their car. I don't know, guys. I feel so bad about the quality of the game that I'm spinning. Oh well. How about you, Dennis? How do you feel about Grand Theft Auto 5?
I feel like I have to go back and finish Grand Theft Auto 4 before.
Oh.
Like I liked Grand Theft Auto 4 a lot, just in the idea that it actually had kind of a theme or a message behind it, mm-hmm. While still at the same time letting you drive tanks and ramp cars off of bridges and all that crazy stuff. So, but then I, you know, halfway through kind of, actually, I think I was playing it when my PS3 got stolen.
Oh.
So that kind of broke the role there.
Yeah.
And I never really came back to it. So it's almost like I invested in Grand Theft Auto 4, so I'd be more interested in, you know, finishing this story that I invested in, or finishing this Grand Theft Auto game I invested in before I started a new one.
So here's a cogent point. I feel like I really liked Grand Theft Auto Vice City and to an equal to or lesser than extent San Andreas, because they were period pieces. They had a different setting, a different time and place, you know.
Yeah.
And the modern day ones haven't stuck with me as much as those.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's something about the music. Maybe it's something about the movie tropes that they go after. But yeah. We will see more. Ben, have you heard anything about a release date for Grand Theft Auto 5?
Yeah, it's in September. September 27th.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. Well, then are you excited about Grand Theft Auto 5 since it's supposed to be, I think it's still in the 90s in Hollywood or whatever.
Oh, is it?
I think.
You guys. 90s
businessman, maybe?
You guys.
Maybe not. I don't know.
The 90s is a period piece.
You know what? I've come to terms with it. I mean, okay. So I say this as a 25-year-old man, and it's real dangerous because most of the people I associate with are older than me. But I say, like, man, things that I thought were not a long time ago are actually kind of a crazy long time ago. Sometimes I'll go so far as to say, man, I feel kind of old, or I feel older than I should. And then I'm quickly shut down about that. And you know what? They have a point because of their, you know, in their 30s or whatever, sometimes in their 40s. It's kind of like, oh, I spoke out of turn because if I'm old, you must be a fucking skeleton with skin.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, you gotta be careful who you express that around.
Yeah. No. I had my, like, one of my first, not first serious, but like my initial bout with that in 2008. when I realized that the majority of the things that I liked were 10 years old. So, say, like Resident Evil 2, Metal Gear Solid, the Foo Fighters, The Color and the Shape. A lot of really good stuff came out in 1998, Half-Life, right? You know, stuff that it was kind of like, you know, you were there for a time and a place. And it's kind of like, huh, that's a decade ago. And now, huh, that's 5 years ago or 15 years ago. That's how time works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, the 90s. San Andreas, that was the 90s.
Was no, no.
Oh,
no.
God, yes, it was.
San Andreas?
Oh, San Andreas?
It took place in the 90s. It did not come out in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah. Okay, so it's not exactly novel that it's set in the 90s. It's kind of okay, so I could see the late 80s, but you know, they had Welcome to the Jungle on the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Although, man, that might have been the late 80s. Fuck.
The ladies.
I realized how ironic the lyric "I'm so 2008, you're so 2000 and late" has become.
They didn't build that song to last.
This is true. Well, I heard it the other day and kind of giggled to myself.
Welcome to the Jungle came out October the 3rd of 1987, so it's roughly the same age as me.
Oh, don't do this to me.
Sorry. No. Pick a song. It probably came out like a lot longer than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old is Pepsi Clear? Because that's probably 20 years old at least.
Oh, I'm sure.
Welcome to the Curmudgeon Cast.
I don't even know. Like, okay.
20 years ago.
1992 to 1993. So, yep, 20 years. There we go. I never got to try that. I'm sure they sell some on eBay, but.
Yeah, dude, we should watch it. There's a video of somebody trying it and then vomiting immediately thereafter.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how the stand started. Oh, man. I don't know. Like, even recent stuff. Like, you know, my favorite band, Ockerville River. I realized, oh, it's been 5 years since I saw them in concert. It's like, oh, man, it's like coming up on about 10 years since I started listening to them. That was, like, right before college. Fuck.
This is a weird podcast, right?
This is.
We got nostalgia and we got downers.
It's been 10 years since I last saw the Eels in concert. I don't know. I could keep rattling these things off.
You're a nostalgic man, Cole.
I don't know that I'm nostalgic. I just think that I'm good at remembering dates.
I would argue that you are nostalgic.
Okay.
My proof is birthday stories, which I don't dislike. I do like them, but I, you know,
what do you
I
mean?
Feel like,
what do you mean birthday stories?
Like whenever we hang out on your birthday, you'll tell us stories of past, of birthdays past.
Let me regale you of stories of birthdays past.
You know, you pull up the cob pipe, sit by the fireplace, regale us with some stories.
Stories of birthdays past might be a title contender.
Stories of birthdays past. There we go. I don't know. Are we done with this segment?
Please.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I offended you. Let's start talking about things that were longer ago.
Well, the section's called The Brief, all right?
Okay, all right. Okay, okay, fine. Okay. I'm just watching
I'm sorry.
This.
Drink I'm not some... trying to walk on your nostalgia. I'm not, you know, I'm not, I don't begrudge you for anything, Cole.
Okay, okay.
That's it's fine. Easier to move up in the podcasting circuit. Yeah. You don't do that with random digressions, all right? He's we got a plan. We got to stick to the plan.
Yeah, this is businesslike, all right? We don't do this for fun.
He's nipping at my heels. Gosh, this guy is talking about some Crystal Pepsi.
Are you watching it?
Yeah, yeah, it's going. I'll remark during the grinds when he all vomits. Right. Okay.
Sounds good.
The grind.
It's time for the grind, where we talk about the games that we have been playing over the past week. I would ask for volunteers.
I'll go first.
Go.
Because I have very few things to talk about. One thing I do have to talk about is somebody at my work finally beat Bioshock Infinite, so I was able to talk with somebody about the game. So I was happy about that.
Is that passive aggressive?
No, I'm not. You know, I'm. Listen, if I sound angry, I'm not. Okay. I'm not angry with any of you.
I'm mad. Always sniffing the bottle. Don't do that, man. Go ahead.
But yeah, so that was nice. We kind of shared some information, shared a bunch of things that I did not pick up on. So I need to go check out some forums and read up on some of the things that I might have missed.
He's drinking it. So are you going to play 1999 mode? Are you that kind of person?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not. It's a fun game, but I don't think so. I played a little bit more of my second run through of the game, but I kind of stopped and just started reading forum stuff because that's kind of what I want to get to anyway. I started playing Spec Ops: The Line.
Don't drink the whole thing. Okay.
Oh, man. upon recommendation from many, many people, it seems. And so I only played maybe like the first half an hour or hour of it. So I don't really have a whole lot to talk about of it yet.
It's a shooter.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
It's a third person shooter too.
Yeah.
So think.
Wait. What? I did not get that out of this game.
Slow down.
My TV's cropping was weird.
we can disagree on the semantics here.
I didn't pick up that theme, that third person
theme. All right. So I will stop talking.
No, you shouldn't stop talking. I don't have that much to talk about either. So I'm just stalling for time. So this isn't a 40-minute podcast. Oh gosh, 45 seconds later. What is this? Oh, he has his head in his hands. Sorry. Okay. No, I really want to play Spec Ops: The Line. And I'm going to have to if we're going to do the bonus level anytime soon. Hopefully here within the next week or so. I'll get an opportunity to. Oh boy, 5 seconds later, warning vomit alert. Here it comes. Oh no. Oh, that's not vomiting. Oh, there we go. Yep. Oh, you can tell where the crystal Pepsi ends and the vomit begins. why is he doing that on a glass table? Why isn't there a reverse shot of
Don't from, worry, dude. It's clear. Oh my god. Anyway. So,
I've never seen such regret on a person. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we should all play that relatively soon. I don't know. It's tough because there are things like I know nothing about it except that it takes place in Dubai and it's real upsetting.
I got the Dubai part so far.
Yeah.
Just keep going. You will know when it gets real.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I'll do mine because I've been real bad about being a person who plays video games for podcasts lately.
Plus, I feel like we should probably have a lot of questions for Dennis on what he's been playing. So
yes,
I better manage these expectations.
We probably should.
You are writing checks that I cannot cash.
this evening, as I was editing another show that's going to be coming out here, this schedule, you guys, I played a little bit of a game that I've played some before, but I haven't like gotten as far into it as I'd like. VVVVVVVVVVV. Because it was relative, you know the one, right?
Yeah,
yeah. The reverse gravity platformer. I checked it in my first 15 minutes of play. I died 90 times.
All right. What's nice. The average there per minute? That's about what, 6 times a minute?
Some maybe. I don't know. I don't know how this works.
A lot. Yes. You died a lot.
It is actually like literally as easy as possible. Yep, 6 times. There we go. Confirmed. I had to use Spotlight to do that. That's pathetic. Wow. It's not like one of those things where it's like, oh, prepare to die. You know, like, oh boy, it's hard. It's Meat Boy-esque in the way that it treats difficulty and that there's no penalty for it. And in fact, sometimes it benefits you to die. So if you're not aware of like the basics of the game, it's a platformer that has kind of an 8-bit retro style. It was developed by Terry Cavanaugh, the guy who did Don't Look Back. I forget which one he did first, but he's an indie games darling. And you get around to the world is covered in spikes. Your little pixel dude who's trying to rescue the crew of his ship that was torn apart by a dimensional rift. And you can't jump, but you reverse gravity. So you do all the puzzles, like a timing puzzle kind of thing. And there, you know, slowly they add environmental little twists, fields that act kind of like trampolines that reverse you in midair. So that kind of messes everything up. It's kind of Metroid-esque after you beat the initial couple of screens, you know, when you find your first checkpoint and everything. Checkpoints everywhere, so checkpoint is a bad way to say that. Your first teleporter. Then it kind of opens up and becomes like a Metroid kind of thing. But I like it a lot. It is incredible. Like, the story is incredibly cute and earnest for, you know, the fact, you know, for a game where the most of the story is by reading computer logs from these little computer people who have been, you know, had tragedy strike them. And they're lost and scared and everything. It's incredibly earnest. But the presentation is great, and I don't feel like it is unduly punishing. Because when you die, you pretty much just go right back to the screen before that and then continue on your way.
I think that there's a whole category of games that are like trial by death. Mm-hmm. Trial and death games.
Yeah,
but where death has such a low consequence that you're almost encouraged to try things you are certain will result in your death just to see what happens.
Right.
That's like Resident Evil 4 or Tomb Raider.
I forgot that you played Tomb Raider. But okay. So I don't remember doing an awful lot of like trial by death stuff in Resident Evil 4. Can you quantify that for me, Ben?
It's more so just seeing the death animations. Perhaps like Dead Space. Maybe we could say that one.
Yeah, Dead Space. That's a I have like literally no desire to play Dead Space 3.
No, I don't think anyone does.
As evidenced by the fact that they liquidated that studio. That sucks. Yeah. So what am I thinking of here? Tomb Raider has crazy death animations.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of impaling happening.
It's all her being impaled on rebar over and over again.
Yeah.
I was thinking of it more from like a Super Meat Boy perspective, where it's like, you know, I know I'm gonna die 3 million times trying to get to this level, so you know I'm gonna try different tactics, or what happens if I like jump up this wall and bound that way? Well, it didn't look like it would work, and it didn't work, but right. I tried it.
Yeah, and you know that how short the load time is definitely a thing for these. It's kind of like there's kind of a knockoff of Super Meat Boy on the iPad iPhone that is called League of Evil. Okay. And, you know, the platforming kind of works. You wouldn't think that it would because, you know, it's virtual buttons. You just can go left, right, and then you have your jump and your shoot. And it's spiky and you're trying to kill these evil scientists or whatever. However, like when you die, it doesn't just like drop you back at the beginning of the level. There's like a would you like to continue screen? It's kind of like, make me opt to quit. Right.
Yeah.
Like maybe that succeeds. Maybe that succeeds in just kind of like making you go over and over again, because it never like waves in front of your, you know, in front of your face. Would you like to continue? Because if I'm pissed off and there's this friction here and you give me the out, I will say, no, I'm going to go away now. And then you go away. Always assume that I want to keep playing your game. Always assume I want to keep playing your game.
Yeah.
Maybe they like to alienate their audience, kind of like what we used to do.
Yeah. No, we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I figure these assholes are too dumb to catch it. So, man, back to the usual. There we go. You're not assholes. I really appreciate you listening. So VVV doesn't have any of that. It's pretty much just a frame, and then you're back to where you were.
Nice.
And that's what I've been playing.
What you've been.
VN for
bye. You know, I'm gonna allow it.
That's a stretch. You can say that's terrible.
Okay, I'll edit it out.
We're that. Yeah, that's fine too.
One of two extremes.
I want you to save face.
Edit my failures, Cole.
Okay. I edit mine. Yeah. So Dennis, save us.
I mean, I've been playing one game that's new to me and then a lot of games that I've played before. But nothing that we haven't really kind of talked about, at least a little bit on the show. At David's urging, I tried Improbable Island, the browser-based, text-based adventure game.
Yeah.
And it is quite amusing. I've really enjoyed it. The writing is really good, and I remember David saying that it's really an experiment in trying to. The guy is first and foremost a writer and kind of then a game designer. So he tries to make sure everything's very well written, and that really shines through. As you know, when there's only text in a game, you can't really hide how good your writing is.
Right.
But it's definitely held up in the time that I've given to it. And it's really funny. You get into a conversation with like a drill sergeant where, you know, you get into this war of contradiction over whether or not he yells. And you're like, dude, you kind of yell a lot. And he's like, no, I don't. And you're like, well, you're yelling right now. That is ridiculous. I am not. And I'm a little embarrassed to admit how long I stayed in that just loop of conversation giggling as I did this kind of war of contradiction with him. So it's fun. And you fight zany stuff and you start out without pants. And it's a fun little game.
Do you get the sense? Do you get the sense that there's a kind of like a greater purpose that he's working towards with it? Like, is there an arc? Is there something that he's trying to say, or is this an exercise in zaniness to the max?
I have not played nearly long enough for any sort of arc to expose itself. Mm-hmm. But again, just knowing the background of the person who's there, I would not be surprised at all if that developed.
Right, right.
So we'll see.
Like something being goofy just for the sake of being goofy is not a bad thing. I mean, we like Kingdom of Loathing, you know, mm-hmm. which is real goofy, and you know, So I'm just curious about where it succeeds, but you like it.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, and I'll let you know if I come back one week and be like, guys, my world has changed. I got to the turn in Improbable Island, and man, I'd never thought I'd look at things this way, but the world is different now.
I am selling all of my possessions and moving to Improbable Island.
Yes, yes. So I did that, played more Dark Souls. I'm for the first time going to the painted world of Ariamis?
Ariamis, that's what we
said. Ariamis, there we go. So that's really cool. It's certainly better than beating my head against ONS, so that's nice. Played more Walking Dead. Amazing. Played more The Cave. Amazing. It was kind of fun. We babysat my sister-in-law, although she's 13 now, so it's not really babysitting. She spent the night at our house.
She and by babysat, I mean she drank our booze.
Yeah. but anyway, she, you know, as something to do, we kind of all busted out the cave and, you know, she was able to play it. She's not very good at video games at all, but you know, we were all able to hang out together and problem solve. And it was a really delightful time that, was kind of playing a game and the experience being fun and not at all dependent on the actual mechanics being challenging.
Now, did you start a new game, or did you start where you left off?
I started a new game, although I don't know. Like my thought was, oh, I'll just pick up where I left off, but the game didn't give me that option, and I was on my same profile account, and I can't remember how I loaded the game in the past. I always just assumed it popped up as like continue game, so I may have overwritten my old game. I'm not sure.
Gotcha. Who did you roll as this time?
This time, we chose the knight, the monk, and the time traveler.
Okay.
That actually brings me to the first complaint that I've had about the game is, I know. I like the idea behind the time traveler segment,
mm-hmm.
but it's just so, I feel like there were little glitchy game type things that I was getting hung up on. Like I didn't hold square long enough at one point, and where I kind of guessed the answer to the puzzle, but because the method of execution was, you know, obtuse or too specific, or I guess those are two opposite things, because the method of execution was too specific, I assumed I must have been wrong, spent like a half hour trying to find a new answer before looking up a fact and finding out I had really been right the first time. I hadn't held a button long enough. So I kind of felt like cheated out of my time over a technicality.
That's the sequence that I've not that particular sequence of events, but that's the scenario that I've heard the most complaints about, at least in terms of like stability.
And it's the coolest idea.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, when you suddenly realize that the skeletons are following you around the level and stuff like that. But that's, sorry, getting into too much specifics if we want to get back into recordable stuff.
Right. No, that's I think that's fine. Most games have skeletons in them.
Yeah. Fair.
So do most people. But
that's again, the rest of the game has just been phenomenal and a ton of fun. So
yeah.
Looking forward to continuing playing that, and that's what I've been grinding on.
So we were having a text conversation last night, by which I mean you were texting me and I fell asleep. you were talking. I'm gonna yank us back into Walking Dead territory just a little bit. You were saying I need to turn trophy announcements off.
Yeah, that's you know, so playing The Walking Dead is all about making these like terrible, hard choices that often you don't feel very good about.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they decided to name the trophies that you get for these choices in all very like snarky, punny kind of ways. Ugh. And so make this choice and you're like, oh my God, my decision just came. And then it's like, yeah, here's a funny pun, waka waka.
Dead wrong.
Like, seriously, So is probably not something that people put a lot of thought into, but it really kind of jerked me out of the experience.
Yeah, it's
Heavy Rain dealt with this issue where they made it so that the trophies would be given during the loading screens.
That Did is you... the way to do it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like it's it bugged me too because I had the Steam achievements, but like this is gonna sound really goofy. It reminded me that I was playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
Even more so about, you know, it's kind of like, oh, they're making a goof about this about this thing.
Yeah, it just felt like they're trying to. Again, it wasn't that it was reminding me that I was playing a game. It's that it seemed to be alluding to the fact that you should be having fun right now. Isn't this fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was making light of a situation that they were trying to make serious.
Yeah. And it's not like a Greek chorus kind of thing where, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, if they were relatively serious and if they weren't like, oh, he's half the man he used to be, then it would be, you know.
Deaths for characters.
What's that?
So we're just inventing all these deaths for characters. Yeah.
And nobody would be surprised about any of them. Yeah. So I don't know. Walking Dead. Good.
So Dennis, could you give us some kind of vague impressions that you had of the game, or perhaps we could edit it out and you could tell us specifically how you liked the game?
Just that if you have any illusion that, you know, you are I think I said this earlier warming up, but you know, if you have any illusions about being a good person overall, and really I'm not that bad, I do the right thing in most situations, just even regardless of what dialogue choice you actually choose or what choices you actually make in the game, the impulses and thoughts that play acting through these horrible scenarios will kind of reveal is just really kind of makes you realize, oh no, you know, deep down we're all kind of barbaric.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine playing this with somebody who I would want to trust me,
right?
Because I mean, it would probably raise these kind of weird moral or philosophical conversations, like, huh, so why did you think it was okay to let that person die as opposed to blah blah blah?
To an extent, you know, I can hide behind the fact that I think I said this last week that I'm kind of playing a character. Mm-hmm. I've decided who this guy is like or what I think he's like, and I'm trying to play faithfully to that rather than play as a complete reflection of myself. So there's, I mean, I can kind of hide behind that, but regardless of the actual choices I'm making, the things that I'm thinking and the like I said, the urges or impulses or, you know, just all that stuff.
Right.
Are very, very revealing. So
like, I mean, so many of those decisions that I made, I didn't really think about them as I was making them. It's just kind of like, okay, that one.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of, you know, you're following to it. Like putting that extra layer of abstraction, like trying to interpret your impulses through this character, this fiction that you put up around it. Like, do you find that that hinders you?
No, because the game has actually done a very good job of, you know, almost, I would say 90% of the time, I feel like one of the dialogue choices really well represents what I would want to do or say.
Right. I mean, and there are four, usually. One is silence, one is being a jackass, the other one's neutral, and then one is, you know, trying to be good. And they change that, but...
Yeah, and it's interesting to me that the silence option is sometimes... You know, actually feels like the best option. It's
but
not
I
just
never
a...
ever chose it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Huh.
Very rarely.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. See, it's revealing stuff. So yeah, it's just this really interesting mirror to the way you know subconsciously think and react to very extreme situations.
Right.
And I think in your typical shooter, or whatever, there's always this layer of action put over it, where this is just very much how would you feel, how would you act in certain circumstances.
Right.
So yeah, it's a great game. And so I know I missed the spoiler episode on it, but I encourage people to go back and listen to that, because I'm sure there's lots of discussion to this effect in there,
including you once you beat this game.
Oh, I plan on it.
Are you taking breaks, or are you kind of like powering through?
Taking breaks. I could only get halfway through the third episode, and I was like, well, I still feel kind of awake, but I'm done for tonight.
Right. Because Ben, you did this in a weekend, right?
One weekend.
Yeah.
I was bored. All right.
That's fine. No, it's that is a perfectly valid reason to do anything. Play video games, go for a walk, eat, drink.
I think playing it in a weekend could be really a good way to do it, in that, you know, I have time in the, in taking all these breaks to kind of process through what I think or kind of anticipate how I might react and put things together in my head. Whereas I feel like a lot of the game and a lot of what the characters are going through is, you know, in the moment. I think there's a quote from the game of, you know, in the moment, do you really have a choice?
Right.
You know, when things are actually happening to you and everything's going crazy, you know, it seems like you have a choice, but you really don't.
I don't know that this is a spoiler, so I'm going to say it. So time passes in the game, right? Like in between chapters, a certain amount of time passes, and I think they say what it is. I wonder if anybody has like crafted the how to play it in real time.
Oh gosh.
So like, you know, you play chapter one, like up until this point, you know, halfway through it, and then, you know, it skips a week, and then you wait a week, and then, oh, there's like 3 months between these two here. You know, so you wait that. I wonder if that would be a way to play it.
And here you need to play with a broken leg. Here you need to play starving to death.
Don't eat for that week that you take a break.
Oh man. I don't know. Walking Dead challenge runs.
Multiplayer.
It's time for the multiplayer segment, where we ask you things about stuff. Dennis, what was our question?
Our question is kind of for the PC gamers out there this week, and the question is, what's the best mod that you've ever played?
Mod being a modification to a game?
Yeah. What's the best... you've said it, modification to a game.
Yeah, I'll take it away. This question was suggested by you, Ben, I believe, right?
Maybe. I was inspired by the Randy Savage.
Oh, gosh. Murph Murphy says, it's really hard to think of a mod that blew up more than Team Fortress for Quake. I remember playing that. As do I, Murph. God, Team Fortress is so good. And then Team Fortress Classic was a Half-Life mod.
Oh yeah,
meaning that would be the mod that I played the most. Half-Life was like where like most of the games that we have now are from Half-Life. Like before they did Source and it was, you know, it was an engine and everything was made in Source. Like Half-Life and Counter-Strike, those were things that people made a lot of mods for that eventually went on to make a lot of really good games. You know?
Like Left 4 Dead was originally a game variant of Counter-Strike.
I think it was. I believe you are right.
It was. One person would have a gun and everyone else would have knives and and run at them.
That's funny. Oh, man. Hey, Ben, what does Christopher say?
I wanted to say Gary's, but that's fine.
That's fine. How about Dennis? Do you want to say?
Sure. I'll take Chris. Since Ben seems to be turning a cold shoulder.
I'm sorry.
Chris says, I'm so excited I can mention one of my favorite mods, or to be precise, a trilogy of mods that I will always treasure, that not a lot of people seem to remember. They Hunger mods for the first Half-Life game. Man, I don't know how I threw those F's together there. Which were basically three full zombie-based FPS games that were, as far as shooter games are concerned, pretty goddamn creepy and badassly awesome. They were probably the first I ever experienced of the sort of zombie shooter that I'd always wanted at the time. Sure, there were those zombie-ish soldiers in games like Doom or Quake, but come on, zombies don't run around shooting guns and grenades at you. Plus, they had the sort of atmosphere and dread that not a lot of shooters can really claim for themselves. Aside from the occasional survival horror game around that time, those were all third-person shooters anyway. FPS games, not so much. So damn good. And there's mods like Circle of Eight, so I think this is moving out of that trilogy.
Yes.
And then there's mods like Circle of Eight for the Temple of Elemental Evil, and the various restoration mods for games like Fallout and Fallout 2, all of which fix the bugs that the official patches couldn't fix, as well as add all of the incomplete quests and locations, as well as providing more information as to what is going on in the game world. All that were originally planned but never made it into the actual game, providing me with much more to do in some of my favorite games. Although I had to sacrifice such fun side quests as crashing to the desktop, and hey, your save game is corrupted, numbnuts, you should have used more than one save file. Ha 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 ha. That's a really good point. There's a whole community of modding games just to fix them, essentially, or adding content that may have gone missing.
They pop up in really, really unlikely places too.
Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised what people are fans of enough to restore.
I'm thinking specifically of there's a Jurassic Park game that was on PC called Trespasser. It was in development and it was supposed to be really ambitious. Like at the time, you know, had some of the best graphics at the time. It was kind of an open world-esque kind of thing. It had a full physics engine. And it was a first person game. And you actually pick things up and stacked them and things like that. They rushed the launch of it because they wanted its release to coincide with the Lost World. So it was kind of a flop. It was unfinished. It wasn't that great, et cetera, et cetera. But there was a surprising, like, it was one of the first mod communities that I really remember, like, popping up, like, aside from people who made custom mods for Duke Nukem 3D or whatever, or custom maps, rather, just, like, of trying to make this game playable. And, like, okay, this is what they wanted to do. So I guess even in games, life finds a way.
Did somebody watch Jurassic Park 3D over the weekend?
Not 3D. I didn't want to go to a movie theater to, you know, pay $15 to see a movie that's goddamn 20 years old. So I just watched it at home.
You are a wise man.
But there are a couple things here. First, They Hunger. That sounds awesome to me. mods for like Temple of Elemental Evil just makes me think of games like Neverwinter Nights, where they put the creation tools inside of it. There were a lot of custom campaigns that I played for Neverwinter Nights. I played so many of them, I can't remember any of them because they were all made by people who don't know how to make things memorable. But,
ouch.
it's tough. Like, not even the official campaigns for Neverwinter Nights were that great. Aside from Hordes of the Underdark, that was awesome. And then the restoration mods, like Deus Ex or Vampire the Masquerade. Gosh, Vampire the Masquerade is like fucking unplayable if you don't have that.
Yeah.
There was one for Knights of the Republic 2 as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I recall that. No, that was recent too, right? Where they like, it wasn't that they fixed stuff, it's that they wholesale added things back into the game that were dummied out.
Yeah, there were a couple.
How does one discover the things that were dummied out? Is it code that's in the game that just got, you know, all the links to it deleted, or what?
My understanding of it is, okay, so if when you're coding the game, and you have to take something out, it's actually easier to go in and just like comment the code out. So just, you know, make it so that it doesn't read as a thing, than to take it away, because taking it away makes it more prone to add bugs. That, and if you're adding, you know, textures and voice packs into the media files for the game, it's easier to leave them in than to take them out, again, because it creates problems. So when a game comes out and that stuff is, quote unquote, dummied out, people go in and they find ways to, you know, decrypt the source code and to look around in the texture files, and they find stuff that just wasn't used. Like, there was a ton of dialogue for Dark Souls that wasn't used, that people are actually modding back into the game.
Nice. You know,
stuff like that. So that's how that happens.
Very cool.
Yeah, Ben, read what Gary has to say.
Does Left 4 Dead 2 count? Sick burn!
I'm happy you read that. Can you say sick burn for me again?
Sick burn!
Thank you.
In parentheses.
Yeah.
I would be remiss here if I didn't mention David's perennial favorites, the Bill Cosby mod for the zombies in Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
What's that do? Does it change the with?
Yeah, basically.
Before we read the final one, why don't we go around and say ours? Ben, how about you?
As I mentioned before, I think probably the Randy Savage Skyrim mod's probably my favorite mod. I don't really play a whole lot of PC games, so I do not have a lot of exposure to mods, but right. Yeah. That, or there's another mod for Skyrim where it like puts like 100 dragons on the map at a time. That's pretty interesting.
Make this game unplayable.
Yeah.
There's a whole like, okay, so those mods are awesome. There's a whole host of terrible mods that are made by awful people. You know, like that you just like and the marketplaces that pop up like around the Nexus or, you know, things like that, where these things kind of congregate, where, you know, especially games like Fallout or Oblivion, Skyrim, they become like, you know, fetish areas, you know, just kind of like, okay, how are we going to do this? So like a mod that replaces the horse textures so you can see the genitalia at the back.
It's like, I am so much about this fetish that I cannot even enjoy one piece of entertainment that does not include it.
Yeah. And I'm going to put it up on the internet for everybody to share. You know what? I'm not going to judge somebody for fantasies, you know, as long as it doesn't involve hurting people or, you know, all that kind of jazz. But I still would like to say that is weird.
That's pretty hilarious.
It is pretty hilarious. There's also mods like there was a video of a mod for Fallout New Vegas, which was like the weed and sex mod, which it was like, you know, because, you know, on the GAC, which is the modding engine for Fallout, it's real easy to, you know, to make your own stuff. So kind of like, let's give this guy like a pimp hat and, you know, let's put this house on the wasteland, and you go inside and it's like, hey man, wanna smoke up? Except it's like even more poorly voice acted than that. And you can buy different strains that have different buffs that go onto it. And then there's just prostitutes that you can, you know, opt to have sex with. So they take your third person models and they lay them on the ground and then make sex noises, and then you stand up.
I don't understand how anyone could be into video game sex. It's so awkward.
You know what?
There's no amount of polygons that could make this okay.
For as much of high school and middle school that are like indelibly like etched into my memory for how just embarrassing and humiliating they are, I think that we are neglecting how it feels to be that young and to have,
this is true,
you know. So I just think that like
a well-shaped chair can set you on edge,
you know. So it's, I think that these are just people who have like that inclination, like, you know, like a 15-year-old who, you know, has the time and inclination to, you know, he really likes two things in his life, weed and sex, and he's going to put them into his other thing, video games.
This is out there when you're 34 and trying to get a job. Congratulations, you've published this to the interwebs.
Oh man, you know what? Pretty soon it won't matter. Like, you know, everything on the internet is, you know, it's permanent ink, but just eventually it's all going to be written over each other.
Oh yeah. Like, no one can be president anymore. No. / now everyone can be president.
Yes, exactly. Nobody and everybody can be president.
With the president mod.
I worry about that. I worry about some of the shit that I say on these things, but not really, because like, I don't know. Anyway.
I like how they can predict presidential candidates or vice presidential candidates by how their Wikipedia page is edited.
I didn't know that.
That's funny.
It's like, well, this person's cleaning up their Wikipedia page. Guess he's running for president.
Can I say mine?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, the obvious answer would be Dear Esther, because that was a Source mod, but I'm not going to say that because that's way too predictable for me. I'm going to side with a bunch of people who mentioned the Half-Life mods. There was a really, really fun Half-Life multiplayer mod. I don't know that it was especially good or well balanced, but it was really fun. It was called Action Half-Life. And what it did was it added, it basically made every level into a kung fu movie or like an action movie of a different sort. So it was like modern day settings that, you know, instead of like, you know, running around in these labs and things like that for these, you know, multiplayer levels, it was like, here's a street, or, you know, here's like the streets of Hong Kong and stuff like that. And you had different weapons. So you had like a blunderbuss, or you had akimbo guns, like, you know, dual wielding these guns, or just various kind of weapons. And the really cool thing was you could do different dives and kicks and things like that. So it was
Sleeping Dogs, pre-Sleeping Dogs.
Kind of, yeah. So it's just kind of like you can dive into and out of cover, and you could, you know, like knock somebody down and stun them by doing like a leg sweep on them. And it was just really, really fun, really fast paced. And for somebody who was as like bad at competitive Half-Life, and I wasn't bad at Team Fortress, I was okay at that because you could take a non-combat role, but it was just fast enough and goofy enough that I could swing it and make people really mad at me, because like, oh, that was a cheap shot, I'll take anything I can get. But yeah, that was a fun game. And searching to find the name of it, there's also an Action Half-Life 2, which I'm actually curious about now. Kind of another thing, this is more of a custom map than anything, but there was a Counter-Strike map that was modeled after the Simpsons house and neighborhood. That was fun.
I've always wished there were more creative maps for multiplayer shooters, just more, and some games do okay with it, but in general, you know, there are only so many rundown buildings and abandoned towns you can fight your way through, or space corridors, you know, before it all looks the same. And so, you know, seeing really imaginative stuff like that you really only find in the mod community, I feel like spruces things up.
Yeah. That's where like the full conversion thing comes in, like natural selection. That was a full conversion mod, you know,
for sure.
But then again, that was space marines fighting aliens and derelict ships. So
point proven.
How about you, Dennis?
Mine was, I mean, it's kind of the first mod that I ever ran into, or I guess set of mods. The first game I ever really played online was Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. And at the time, I had no concept of the idea that you could actually go in and alter the code for a game and adjust things. And all the multiplayer maps from that game are actual levels from the campaign. So, you know, I started playing online and all this stuff was familiar. I'd seen it in the campaign. And then I loaded into a map where all of a sudden all these barrels were in the way, and it was set up to be an exclusively sniper level that you could only get so close and all this stuff. And I was like, wait, all my rules are broken. I don't know what's going on. I definitely did not spawn in with a sniper rifle, so I got owned. But like, it was just like, I never even considered something like that to be possible. And then all of a sudden here are all these levels that were radically different than what I was used to. It was just this really cool experience. Cause every time, you loaded in, there was something new. Of course, after the 54th snipers only level, it got a little tiring.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, and what I'm probably talking about was, you know, probably the same thing that happened on Counter-Strike to a much larger scale. Sounds like that might have had a bigger modding community, but it left an impression on me because of just how foreign the idea was before I stumbled upon it.
Counter-Strike was kind of goofy because, you know, most of your matches were just DE dust. You know, it was incredibly ossified. There was kind of this competition mentality where it's kind of like, okay, we're going to play on these same two maps, you know, over and over again, because this is the map that we know, and that's the map that you're controlling the variables, right?
Control the variables so the skill can shine through.
Exactly. And that kind of like goes into like a negative side of the mod community that I really don't like, because I called it negative, which is kind of the big game hunters mentality. So I'm not talking about Cabela's. I'm talking about there was a specific mod map. Just it's a map for StarCraft that, you know, there's no real terrain to it. It's just a ring of bases that have like isthmuses that meet in the center. And there's no features to it. It's just kind of like, here's the area where you can have a base, and then somebody is on one of these other islands and you need to go out and fight them. And it was very much like, okay, I know the build order for this, because everybody's going to be playing Protoss, so they're going to put up all these turrets, so I need to get enough battle cruisers that I can go and take out the turrets, but oh god, they're going to blah, blah, blah. And it was like, every map was that. It was like,
and that's where like your clicks per minute become important and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, but then there was also like, you know, NR15. It's like, well, I like playing Zerg. No, NR is like no rush, 15. So like 15 minutes and then you can go. It's like, well, no, I'm not going to do that because... Which made me the asshole in that situation. Yeah. But like that shows up in what is that? Like a Smash Brothers too, right? Where it's like, what is it? Final Destination, no items. It's yeah. Like one hit will kill you. And it's like, you know, let's take all the fun out of this kind of goofy game and make it strictly about like, you know, oh man, look at how overpowered Fox is, I guess. What's Star Fox?
Like, I think there's a type of person who just has, you know,
they're, doesn't they're like having enough, fun.
doesn't like being surprised, I guess. I feel like that's what all these maps are trying to do, is take any sort of surprise or randomness out of it. And I can understand that, you know, but at the same time, that's where 90% of the enjoyment of games comes for me, is in random stuff happening. So right. I don't know that any of us are really in that type of person that enjoys the pure skill based
like you could
competition.
You could make the argument that the randomness comes from dealing with a human, right? So AI is predictable, sure, in a certain way. Even the best AI, you know, follows a pattern, blah blah blah. And the human element is what kind of like puts that X factor in. And the computer, you know, by having this strange space with these weird things. Man, but it just like takes that and gets rid of it. But I don't know. In that case, you're still like, you know what it's going to be. There are only so many moves that you can make. Like, what is it in chess? There's the idea of the book.
Yeah.
Where every move you can look at how many people before you have made that move before.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like, okay, you start out and like 15 million matches have been played up to this point, just like this. And then you work down until finally there's something new. And then, you know, that's when it finally gets exciting. Right.
And usually when you find this something new, it's because someone did something stupid.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just parodying Radiolab at this point, but it's real. it's real upsetting that stuff gets so ossified like it is, and mods, which to my mind, you know, are best used to kind of like make new experiences, are for kind of trimming away the things that I kind of like about games.
Maybe it's the obsession with fairness that I want to make that everything is fair in the game. And it's like, well, sometimes it's fun to not be fair.
Right, right.
So randomness, maybe not so much fairness, I think, is a better descriptor of what mods are either trying to, you know, amplify or to edit out to the greatest extent they can.
One thing that I really liked was, trainer maps on Team Fortress. I'm sure they exist in other places, but it's like, you know, you want to know how to rocket jump. Okay, well, here's a rocket jump obstacle course. Go.
Nice.
Or you want to know how to concussion grenade jump. Go. Right? Like, okay, you do it, you know?
Yeah, it's cool. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Modding for good.
Finally, Jeffrey Lawton says, I didn't get very far with it, but the Nehrim, Nehrim, total conversion mod for Oblivion, was pretty impressive to me. The beginning sequence is so lovingly crafted, and when you get out of the initial dungeon, it seems just as intricate as Oblivion itself. It's much darker than Oblivion. I found it to actually be scary in some of the beginning parts. One weird mechanic I remember is that you're an outlaw for your ability to use magic. So you cast a spell within sight of town and get rushed by 10 guards. Now that I'm reminded of it, I may revisit it, he says.
That's really cool. I like that idea.
Yeah. Just like, let's make a miniature campaign out of this thing.
Well, and I feel like they're, you know, great ideas come from anywhere. I'm confident that some of the greatest ideas for games come from people who have no idea how to program or don't have nearly the resources to fully create a game. And mods open up that kind of option for those people.
Yeah. Inventiveness. So yeah, thank you so much, everybody, for responding to that question. Great conversation as always. If you would like to participate on that, you can check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/thelevelpodcast, or follow us on Twitter, which is @duckfeedtv. End bosses, you guys?
Sure.
Yep.
Yep.
The end boss.
Now it's time for the end boss, where we leave everybody with thoughts for the next week. I'll go. I need to make more time to play video games. I've been so, like, just the, you know, this whole past, I want to say like month even, approaching a month, has been so dedicated my weekends and nights to, to getting my new house in order and, you know, making sure I don't go to jail for getting into a car accident. It's like all of these like weird tasks. And it's like, I feel like I need to take a vacation to like sit down and play some video games and to reset my clock, because I've been running ragged for the past good long while.
Womp.
No, I don't mean that to complain. I just, you know, I'm keeping busy and all that, but it's just kind of like, man, I kind of want to just like chill out and play some Bioshock or Spec Ops or something.
This will be the place where I hint I am very excited about some potential bonus levels that we will be doing, or specifically a potential bonus level we will be doing in probably about a month or so here. Mm-hmm. So keep your ear to the ground. There are very cool things in the works.
Yes.
That I hope to be able to share more with you on soon.
Yeah. It is cool. I can vouch for that. He's not just springing stuff on us.
Yeah.
I guess my end boss is just to play Spec Ops The Line. So that's what I'm probably going to be doing after this.
Sounds good. All right. Want to button it up? Let's do it. That was level 19, or episode 19 of the level, whichever one you prefer to say. So what can you do? You can check out duckfeed.tv/thelevel. Where you can find old episodes of the show and find us on Facebook, like us there. I mentioned that during the multiplayer. It's been a little bit since we had an iTunes review. I don't like asking specifically. Normally, it's just part of the spiel. We really like it when we see those. They're fun to read. We won't ask you to leave us a positive one, but we like the positive ones better than the negative ones.
You know, not yeah. Saying.
We're going to have t-shirt designs up shortly here. I've been slacking, on the store there. They're going to be nice. It's a good company. They're ethical. They're local, at least to Ohio. They do print on demand, so we can have as many designs up as we want. So yeah, we're still taking your suggestions, you know, because we want to make shirts that people will buy. And if you would like to support the network, you know, monetarily help cover the bandwidth bills, the hosting, stuff like that, you can go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, where you can buy something on Amazon, and then we get a little cut from that. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps us out a great deal. Did I miss anything, fellas?
Tell a friend. That's always the most basic way. That's and it's always the best way.
The best thing you can do is talk about us. That you know, and also keep listening. That too.
Yeah, thanks for spending some time with us. We enjoy it.
Yeah. So we're going to leave you with our outros. This has been Cole Ross. I am at Cole Ross on Twitter.
Dennis Furia at D Furia.
Ben Merkel at Merkelizer.
So, Dennis, it sounded like you said Tennis Furia.
Oh, I changed it. Tennis Fury now. I am
going pro.
Podcaster formerly known as Dennis.
Tennis Fury and Merkelizer? Good night. I had the experience, you know, I've been walking around a lot, you know, since I'm in this new neighborhood, and it's a walkable neighborhood, and you can just go places, and I like walk up to Rookwood and, you know, go to, you know, walk into the GameStop or, you know, go just whatever. I was walking at Rookwood, and there were these two kids, and they were heelying like along ahead of their parent. Who was there, like you know, not like an old gentleman, like a hipster, not a hipster dad, just like a young professional dad. Okay. And they got a little too far ahead of him. They were on the sidewalk. It was okay. And instead of like just walking faster to catch up with them, he heelied on his own.
Oh no.
To catch up with them. It was like, dude.
That's awesome. Can't beat them, gotta join them.
It's like, how the fuck else am I supposed to keep up with my kids?
That's cool. Can you give us a sound for flipping us off as you heely away from us?
You know, the only sound that I can make for that is
motorized heelys are the most terrifying thing I've ever thought about.
it's like an outboard engine.
You have like a lawnmower cord attached to your shoe and you just pull it.
So here's something weird about Facebook, right? You know, you have the content at the left, and you have the column of ads over to the right. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the ads are generally catered to you like in a creepy way, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at my ads and I see Kroger benefits, which, you know, blah blah blah, online coupons for Kroger. Probably sees that I'm in Cincinnati. I've probably, you know, gone to Kroger's website, you know, to look up a coupon or something like that, or look up an ad. Right below that, shop Warby Parker, the place where I get my glasses, and the image is some ads or some lenses, not lenses, frames that I looked at a little while ago, you know, thinking about getting some new specs, blah blah blah. Below that, it's an ad for a company that I did a voiceover for. I don't know that it knows that I did the voiceover, but I've gone to their website a couple of times. It probably sees my cookies like, oh, New Relic, hey, you know, free T-shirt for nerds, blah blah blah. There's one for Volkswagen Jetta, because when I was searching for cars, I was looking for I was looking at Jettas because they're very nice cars. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is Sexy Bunny for You Only. Would you like to join a party full of beautiful bunny girls? This is your way in. Play now. It's like, what?
That's just based on the fact that you are a male in America.
I guess. But like, I don't know. Like, maybe I would like that. Like, maybe they...
Facebook, I am trusting you on this one.
Like, you know what? I'm going to give these people my money. Because you know me better than I know me, I guess. Yeah.